Okay, amigos, welcome back to part two of Little Joe, the King of the Brown Sound. Hope you're enjoying the interview so far. And let's go ahead, let's continue listening. And thank you for listening once again to Rancho Alegre Radio. We're back, Rancho Alegre Radio, here with Little Joe. And Little Joe, working with others, you know, double billing, triple billing with other artists, how do you like that? You run into a lot of egos, not mentioning names, of course, but, you know, any problems?
A few here and there.
Is that right?
Yeah. But, you know, you see some go up and later on come down, and
right.
their heads aren't as big as they were before. And I guess we all kind of experience that. But there is also some really great talents that Manuelito Castañeda III, who worked with me on the road for 5 years, you know, a talent like that. He plays saxophone. He's teaching in Fort Worth now. But it's really something special when you find people or musicians like that that are, you know, so laid back, no ego problem, or, you
right,
know.
Right.
So we have a lot of that too. But unfortunately, you know, there's always going to be that mentality, you know.
Right.
I'm better than you, but don't have to prove it. Well, don't worry about it.
And the sound question, there's always, you know, I've heard through a lot of musicians, there's always problems with you can't use our sound, or we can't use you know, is that, you run into that a lot?
Yeah, and that's unfortunate too. But, you know, again, live and learn.
Right. And record companies, who have you recorded with? I know you had your own label, you know, and now even, I believe.
Yeah, I've been in and out of the major labels. It works for some, it works for others, don't for others. But I think in the old days, everybody wanted to be on a major label, and
right.
I had the good fortune to be on them, and sometimes it worked to some extent. And then, well, for me especially, because I've always done, I guess, the music I've done is a specialized market.
Right.
And, you know, it's still developing, música chicana, you know, but if we don't listen to other music, if we don't, you know, mix the styles, the genres, we just more and more paint ourselves into a corner.
Right.
But, you know, it's, the major labels are always going to be about numbers, and they're going to go, it's not about the music, it's about the numbers. Where
right,
can they, where can they
right.
sell the most, you know? And since I was always trying to improve on the music that I learned as a kid, and, you know, it was difficult for me to work with the major labels, because they don't know how to
market
me, because what do you play? A little bit of everything, you know.
Right.
But I believe that part of my longevity is that, you know.
Right.
I just played a date in the valley with Mark Chestnut. No, Mark Chestnut is this coming Saturday. I'll be in Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
And I'm headlining over Mark Chestnut. I don't feel that's right, but that's the way the bill goes.
Right.
I just played with Tracy Lawrence in the valley. You know, so I play I see a country audience. I lean towards that.
Right.
But I still play the same music I always play. It's just a little more of, you know, if I play with a Latin jazz, like Poncho Sanchez at a Latin jazz concert, you know, I'm not a jazz musician, but I like it enough to play a little bit of it, and, you know, so it goes. So if I play a mariachi festival, well, I play the Mexicana rancheros that sounds mariachi, but it's not a mariachi band. So that, you know, has given me the opportunity to play in front of different audiences, you know,
right,
you know, and of all ages, you know. So the company's always had a little problem trying to, you know, how do you market this guy, you know? So, so in some cases, it's better that I market myself. And
And
it's worked.
And so basically, you're a musical chameleon.
Yeah, it's worked. But that's because that's how I love music.
You know,
I don't do, say, country music because the country market is going to pay more or whatever. I do it because I love it. The music I play is the music I love, you know. And if I don't love it, I don't expect the audiences to love it either.
And for the record, what are some of the record companies that you've recorded with?
Well, when I started with Sony, it wasn't Sony, it was CBS Columbia.
Oh, okay.
And also Capitol, which was EMI.
Right.
Yeah. And my very first one was with, what was it called? As a matter of fact, Rodman, but that was not... Rodman was under, it's three letters. No me recuerdo the three letters. That was my first.
It'll come to you.
H will do that. Yeah, when you leave, I'll call you and tell you. That's the record company I was talking about. So there's been three major label, major companies that I work with, and they've been three of the biggest major labels to work with, and it's all been a great experience for me.
And being that your brothers Johnny and Rocky were also recording, was there ever a friendly competition between you guys? You know. Recording, or did everyone just basically run their own race?
I think they think like I do. You compete with ourselves, you know, because I produced them and I got the songs for them, and you know, so I did the very best I could for them. The only competition that I feel we have is ourselves. How do I make the next one better?
And speaking of numbers, we were talking about the record companies. What about radio stations? You know, they have pretty much...
Let me go back.
Radio support, you know, it's dwindled. Down. And how does that make you feel? I mean, seeing that you were here with the Tejano heyday, and the thing is, what I don't understand is that all of these bands are making a living touring with very little support of terrestrial radio. I mean, what are they not seeing that the rest of us see?
Music, you know, as I said earlier, we paint ourselves into a corner. Our music is not competitive enough, and we're not competing with the... there's some great music coming out. There's all kinds of music, but corporate America is really, you know, again, back to the numbers, you know. So... the radio station, somebody in Atlanta is sitting there telling the rest of the country telling the radio stations around the country what to play. Here's the playlist, and that's what they're going to go with.
Right.
You know, so it's not, we've lost the independent radio stations where you could walk in and with your CD or record and they'd play it for you. That's gone, you know. Now the program directors are being told, you know, what to play and when to play it, and you know, and that's where the major labels were really superior to the independents. But now, because of technology, you can see where the indies, the independents, are. You know that the major labels are having a hard time, and record sales are down from the record labels, the major record labels. But you know, you just some figures here. You produce a record and you press it and you manufacture it, and say the cost is $2, and from the $2 it goes to, you know, after the production costs and all, by the time the fan buys a record and they're paying $18 for it, there's a big gap, you know, of the cost. And you know, and some of the attorneys would say, well, the attorneys got to make some money because they got to pay their drivers, their chauffeurs, it just goes on and on. Everybody would get a split, except the artists, you know. So in my case, I got a really good deal, like a big act, you know, which was up to $1 per CD, which was really unknown, you know. for me coming from my genre.
Right.
But even then, you know, it's like I sold 100,000 records, $100,000.
Wow.
I went independent and make $10 on the record.
Right,
so, you know,
right.
I sell 1,000 records, you know, and it's $10,000. You know, so you sell 100,000 records, that's $1,000,000. You
so
know?
You skipped so, the middleman.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, distribution got more difficult. And,
right,
you know,
right.
So everybody's hurting because of technology, but a lot of people are capitalizing and just, you know, you can, kids don't have to buy a whole CD. They just download the one song they want. And,
right,
and,
right.
And that's cool, too, you know. So the thing is, get the music to the fan.
Yeah, pretty much, ¿verdad?
I think so.
And plus, if Raza was here, they're saying we lack radios. Raza has the strength to call their local radio station. And why aren't they playing, you know, ours? Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Well, you can call all you want, but if, you know, the headquarters, corporate
said
America,
no.
Say no, it's in Cabo, you know. It's like,
well, the reason leads to my next question, you know, because... Raza de Amontón has the power. I mean, and it's more obvious because have you ever seen an election, not to get too political, but an election be after the Hispanic vote like this time around?
We've always talked about it, but this definitely is the one time that La Raza can seriously make the...
Definitely.
And we will. Just not as big a number as I'd like, but it's heartbreaking to have the numbers and not do anything with them.
Right.
You know? It's you know, again, lack of education and motivation, you know. It's like,
right.
Necesitamos for La Raza to vote. And I don't mind telling you, they need to vote Democrat.
There you go. All right, let's go ahead and take another break. We'll be right back with Little Joe here on Rancho Later Radio.
Borrachera. Hace tiempo que yo guardo un sentimiento, recordando lo que tú fuiste en mi vida. Hace tiempo que yo guardo un sentimiento, porque mi alma, pobre alma, no te olvida. No te culpo por ser falsa y traicionera. Te perdono porque todavía te quiero, y aunque pasen muchas, muchas primaveras, olvidarte no podré. Dime que me viste prieta linda, creo que me tienes embrujado. amor no es para mí. Ya te entregué los papeles, van juntos con mi pasión. Más los besos que me diste no tienen devolución, porque quedaron sellados dentro de mi corazón. Entre tú y yo terminamos, al fin no hay nada perdido. Quédate con tus amores, yo seguiré mi camino y nunca te culparé si son cosas del destino.
Back to Rancho Lucha Radio here with Little Joe, and having a great time, actually, more than we should be. But
I don't know if I can stand another break.
You did a great album. I mean, you've done so many great albums, but this one sticks out. You did it with the Conjunto Maestros.
Oh,
what
yes.
brought that on, man?
Something I wanted to do for a long time, and I finally got around to doing it. But all those guys are my heroes, the accordionistas, and you know, Valerio Longoria. I was so happy that I got him on before he passed away.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have lost on that opportunity. But yeah, I grew up listening to all those conjuntos when I was a kid. Many of those conjuntos were already on the road, and they were really good to me. They always put in a good word with the promoters, or, you know, I was no threat to them. I was playing a different kind of genre of music.
And, right, right.
But I had a lot of respect, and I have a lot of respect and love for them.
And that was, like I said, that you bridged, basically, you know, because throughout history there's always been a gap between Conjunto and Tejano, even right. though I always say it's all the same. But you really bridged it, and you brought a lot of Tejanos to Conjunto and vice versa. You know, that was really a great project, and very, very proud of you on that one. And another project, Los Tres Amigos. I mean, man, y'all, I mean, I've seen you on stage as Los Tres Amigos. I've seen you separate. I've seen, but what a great time y'all seem to be having.
Yeah. And we just happen to be so different from one another. We're
right,
all the
right.
same, but It's a lot of fun just thinking about these
right.
guys. And, Pulido's hilarious, man.
He is.
And it, Ruben is such a gentleman. I always say, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like him. You know? But I don't think I'll ever get 6 foot tall. But, yeah, and Ruben is really, really they're both just fun people, man, fun guys.
They are. And you can never tell when they're serious or when they're pulling your leg. That's what doing interviews with them, it just blows me away.
It's like, okay, guys, you want to do this? Yeah. Well, how do you want to do it? However you want. Well, give me an idea of how. I'm with you. Well, which way should we do that? However you want. How do you want? I want like you want. That's pulido. Yo quiero como tú quieras.
I would highly recommend that you take a camera crew the next time y'all get in the studio.
You know what? It's a great idea. I thought about it and didn't get it done. But we should have a camera next time we perform anywhere. Just backstage.
Definitely, I'm sure. Hijinks everywhere.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I love these guys. They're fun guys and talented guys. And it's always just my pleasure to work with them.
Right. Yeah. And you have a strong record when it comes to working with other people. I mean, you've recorded with Johnny Rodriguez and Donna Fargo. You did a country track. And it was funny because when I played that for a friend of mine, they were like, man, Johnny Rodriguez can scream like that? And I was like, no, Sope. I was like, Sope, that is not Johnny Rodriguez. That's Little Joe. And I mean, you've worked with David Lee Garza. You know, you've recorded with him.
Well, I recorded some with Frank Yankovic. And we got a we had the single was a Grammy nominee. Oh, yeah? Nominated. The album was a Grammy nominated from the single, and then they sent me another song. I don't want her. You can have her. She's too fat for me. What I would do translate and. And they wanted me in the recording, not just for the singing, but for the grito. So,
how many gigs is that grito?
But it's you know, it's fun working with these guys. You know, all of them, any musician. You know, but they have to want me on because. Right.
You were at one time. You were real close. Well, I'm sure still you were close with Willie Nelson. You ever record with Willie?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, my last album has a recording of Willie with me, with Mariachi. I'll be happy. Wow. Yeah, it's called A Fusion Evolution. I just finished it. We got our first copies yesterday.
Awesome.
But I did a whole album with Willie, and we were in 2-3 weeks in the studio. It was a blast. And he did really well singing in Spanish.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did really well. But then when he had his IRS problems, they confiscated the masters.
Oh, wow.
And when they returned them, it was just lost in the shuffle. It was all that hard work for Willie.
Wow, wow.
And it was just really a shame, you know, that the whole album got lost.
Definitely. Wow. And who else have you recorded with? Any comes to mind?
No me acuerdo.
That's because you had a great time.
But... They call me on to do duets here con los Tejano groups here lately. I did one with Adalberto and others.
Right.
Several of the cantantes, you know.
And I remember one that sticks to my mind with Los Palominos. They did
I did a song with Los Palominos. Yeah,
Las Nubes. Great recording, man. You're able to blend. That's what amazes me about your voice. You're able to blend and just get in there, man, and you know, and do what you got to do.
Well, I'm glad necessity made me step up to the front of the mic.
Como decía mi tío, me gusta comer carne también.
Yeah.
Your live shows, man. Let's talk about your live shows. I mean, sometimes, you know, because of the weather or for whatever reason, I've seen you perform your heart out, your soul out, bring that brown sound, King of the Brown sound. If there's a lot of people, there's a little bit of people, no matter, no te agüitas, you...
Well, no. It's got nothing to do... Performing has nothing to do with the numbers of people, you know?
Yeah, but it amazes me because you'd be surprised how many people it does matter, you know what I mean? And
you know, when it's a small crowd, I have the most fun because... actually, I have fun regardless, you know.
Right, right.
But when it's slow, you know, I have more time to... I can get a little more intimate with, you know,
right.
with a couple of hundred people than, you know, with 4,000 or 5,000 people, you know. So, but, you know, I have this, for me, singing, the fun part of singing is singing. So
right,
you know, of course I always like to have a great big audience, but
yeah,
especially when some of these shows I produce myself, and I'm looking, oh well, I'm losing about 10,000-12,000 tonight. Right. So you know what, that's the way it goes. I don't complain when I make it, because why complain right. when I lose it, you know? But it's fun, it's fun. And I'm going to let you notice that, because some people would realize, don't realize that, you know, performing is performing, and it should not have to do with the audience as far as
exactly.
the number of audience.
You know? Right, right. And also, you know, you have certain songs that you gotta perform.
Yeah.
If not, people will riot.
Yeah.
That's the problem about having such a great and successful catalog. You know, what are some of those songs
there's quite a few, a lot of them, you know. And like Prieta Linda, they want to hear it maybe twice a night. It's like Las Nubes for sure, you know.
Right.
But I think they know that. And sometimes I get on stage just hollering Las Nubes. I say, when you hear Las Nubes, it's time to go home. You want to hear it now? Like, no. Yeah, and then Borrachera, you know. Those songs are always, Por una mujer casada, they're always, you know. There's
right.
just so many of them,
right,
you know.
Right, right,
right. But fortunate for me that, you know, no matter what I play, it's accepted. It's just probably my most difficult times about the program is what songs to play, you know.
Right, right.
And sometimes, you know, I see, like, an older crowd, and I know they want to hear, you know, the old classics.
Right.
You know, so that's what I give them, some of the old classics.
Definitely. And do you ever find that, you know, going to a show, I'm sure everyone has their off days, you're not feeling well, or you're not, you know, desanimado, I guess yeah. the best way to say it. Does the seeing the people there start dancing and stuff, te anima? Does it get you out of that little slump?
No, music does that.
Oh, okay.
Music does that. But yeah, I've been, I mean, really, really under the weather many times, you know, heartaches, headaches,
right,
toothaches,
right.
Stomach aches, you know. And really, I it just puzzles me how I get through the night. Music again, it's an automatic thing. The magic turns on and I pull it off, you know. But there's been many times when I've been really, really weak, and right. once the music starts, well, back to I was saying about exercising. When you have the music, you exercise longer, you know. You
right,
just keep
right.
going. The music does that, you know. Same thing when I'm performing, you know, no matter how weak or sick, the music just keeps me up.
Right.
After the show's another thing. But
right, right. One thing I will admit that really, it was amazing timing, because as we were talking about, I had gotten out of the hospital, you know, from having my strokes and health problems, and I went to your show because I needed something to lift my spirits up, and it just so happened you were in town that Friday. And you said something that really motivated. You know, as Raza, we tend to not want to admit when we're ill. You know, we think it makes us feel weak or whatever. You stood up on stage and you were like, you know, you said, being a person that was that had diabetes, we have to take care of ourselves as a Raza. You know, eat more at home instead of this crap at the fast food. I mean, that really amazed me. And the message that you gave, because like I said, Raza, I'm not used to Raza, you know, admitting what, you know, that they're ill. You know, but you came out and you spread the message of that. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for that, because like I said, you also do a lot of work for the diabetes. You were doing a show in San Antonio, I think, a fiesta, a benefit. And you have a foundation, I believe, or you work close to a foundation.
No, what I have is a campaign, Little Joe.
Oh, okay.
Diabetes and obesity prevention campaign. But there for a while, after I was diagnosed with diabetes, I have felt angry at myself, because I felt I let myself down, because
right.
they kept saying, you know, you're borderline, but they never really told me what to do about it.
Right, right.
So after I became diabetic, then they said, well, you can go to these classes and, you know, learn how to maintain and control your diabetes. So I went to I went to the classes, and I thought, well, why the heck didn't they tell me about the classes before I became diabetic?
Right.
And then from being angry to myself, I became just angry, period. And wanted to do something about it. And when I started learning more about the problem that diabetes is, you know, and children 10, 12, 14 years old, full-blown diabetics.
Right.
And I knew I wanted to do something about it. And what I learned is that lack of information is one of the major problems.
Definitely.
Major obstacles with the diabetes problem. Of course, you need to be informed of what to do or not to do once you're diabetic. But it's more important to know before you become diabetic.
Definitely.
And it's our lifestyle, of course, and it's what we consume, our food. But, you know, kids don't have the playgrounds that are needed. Kids aren't, you know, one thing that diabetes, the lack of exercise is, you know, very unfortunate, because if you're diabetic, you need to stay active. You need to, there's myths also that you can't eat this or can't eat that. You know, that's not true. You can eat any and everything that you've always ate.
Right.
It's just how much you eat, the portions, you know.
So good to see, yeah.
Yeah, once you learn how many carbs are in what food you eat, and, you know, then you control the
right.
amount of food you eat. But
right.
I didn't change anything about what I eat. It's just my schedule, how the way I ate, you know. It's like
right.
some days I forget to eat, that's not good. Some days I overate, you know, that's not good. So I take a very low dosage of medication. But I've always been active, you know, so that helps a lot. So I've had no problem. My numbers are just super great. I'm really happy about that.
Great, great.
But not everybody knows that.
Right.
So I finally got some attention, and an agency out of El Paso he got money from Austin and from the state to produce a commercial. The program is called Salud por Vida, and the program, the classes are like, I think, 6 weeks, and in the matter of 10 months that the commercial ran in five different markets, El Paso, San Antonio, Laredo, the Valley, and Corpus, I believe, over 10,000 people signed up for the program. And I went back to congratulate some of the people that get their certificates. But it was amazing how many people, you know, in the course of 10 months, over 10,000 people took the classes and were really happy about, you know, that the reports were great. So we're looking forward to extending the program. But that's something that I'm passionate about, because so many people become diabetic unnecessary.
Right.
And it's lack of information. I work with a doctor in San Antonio, Dr. Roberto Trevino, and what we've done, we've raised funds to buy books to take to children in pre-K school.
That's
and
great.
And it's great to see the little children know about eating the proper foods and,
right,
you know,
right.
the sodas. But it's really what we eat that has brought this, it's a crisis, really.
Right.
It's a crisis.
Right.
There's over 2.2 million diabetics in Texas, and year 2020 there's going to be over 8 million.
Wow.
And, you know, young people losing their eyesight, their limbs, you know, it's when it can be prevented, you know.
Right.
And if not, it can be controlled, better controlled, if you have information. So information is the key to this.
Definitely.
You know what to do or not to do, you know. So that's something that I'll continue to do, you know, as long as I can have some people's ear to listen and
right,
help, you
right.
know. But the Salud por Vida program was very, very encouraging for me. So I need to do more of it.
Definitely. I mean, we all need to pitch in on this problem too. It's hurting our raza, you know. And, you know, I attribute it to, with a lot of the video games, a lot of parents don't want their kids out
yeah.
playing anymore. You've got gym being cut from, you know, schools, which
yep.
I don't understand. I mean, I'm starting to think that the school systems are invested in the medical, you know, medicines and stuff.
Well, you know, we propose to do a tour and have the pharmaceutical companies pay for it, underwrite it, and we wanted to do it in Texas, across Texas, and then across the Southwest. We're working on that project now, but sure, the more pills we need, you know, I mean, I know it sounds like a conspiracy thing, but it's just a fact, you know, that that the doctors don't mind you know, prescribing pills for you, you know.
Oh yeah.
Know, and even when we don't need them,
that's right,
for eternity, you know. You know, they give you the pills and take care of the problem, but they continue to push it on. It's just amazing. It's scary.
It is. Well, I'm always amazed at the, you know, the, I'm sure you've seen those commercials. Do you have, you go to the, you know, pee a lot? Well, take this. It may cause diarrhea, but take it.
Yeah. the side effects are worse than the problem.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, let's go and take another break. We'll be right back with Little Joe on Rancho Alegre Radio.
Acabó mi razón para vivir. La tristeza es lo que domina a mi vida de amor infeliz. He pasado las noches llorando, he llorado, llorado por ti, esperando que vuelvas conmigo. Tú quizás ni te acuerdes de mí. No te vayas, por Dios te lo ruego. No te vayas ni me hagas sufrir. Más recuerda las noches de amores y el amor que me diste y te di.
Are bright and we're so far from home. You and I. nació de ti, nació de mí, de la esperanza. Amor. Para los dioses nació del alma.
Sentí que tus besos se anidaron en mí, igual que palomas mensajeras de luz.
Saber que mis besos se quedaron en ti, haciendo en tus labios la señal de la cruz. De mí, de la esperanza. Amor, amor, amor. Nació de Dios para los dos, nació del alma.
Lamentar por no saber respetar.
su querer. Así me tocó el perder. ¿Qué remedio con llorar?
We'll be right back.
Luis Roberto Pulido.
Es Rubén Ramos.
Este es Little Joe Hernández. Con los tres amigos, con Baldomero, el Parrondero Cuellar, en Rancho Alegre Radio.
Aquí vienen los tres amigos.
Y venimos con chicos de ganas.
Siente que dice Rubén.
Por todas las ofensas que me has hecho,
quiero verlo, y al pobre mucho azul.
Okay, amigos, I hope you're enjoying this interview, and we have one more part. This is the end of part two, and please join us, and it's just one more segment, and like I said, hope you're enjoying it, because I am King of the Brown Sound, Little Joe. We'll be right back, Rancho Alegre Radio.